to broadcast another important secret message in Andy's new 1936 secret radio coat. So get your pencils and ready, and be sure to keep listening. And now for our adventure. Yesterday, Mr. Warbucks brought Annie, Joe, and Sandy home to the silos. And believe me, it was a mighty happy reunion. The only sad thing about it was that Daddy Warbucks had to go right back to New York. And right now, Andy and Joe are standing on the silos' back porch, looking across the farm and the fields. If you don't think they're glad to get back, listen to what Joe's saying now.
Just look out there, Annie. Across the barnyard and over those fields towards the wood. Did you ever see anything so pretty in all your life?
I guess I never did, Joe.
I'll say you didn't. With those patches of snow on the fields and the green and brown beginning to show through. Boy, oh boy. Sure looks like home to me.
Yeah, me too.
Just listen to that cow. Isn't that the nicest music you ever heard?
Sounds pretty good, all right.
And boy, oh boy, listen to that. Say, there never was anything sounded better to me than a rooster.
I guess I feel just the same as you do, Joe. I guess we're just a couple of farmers.
I'll say we are. You know, Annie.
What?
When I went home yesterday.
I bet your mother was glad to see you, Joe.
Glad? She caught me right up in her arms, Annie. And then she started crying. Shucks, guess I cried a little myself. And you know, Annie, Peter and Paul cried, too.
They did?
Sure. They were so glad to see me. Peter started it. And with being twins, I guess Paul thought he ought to cry, too. Anyhow, it was swell people wanting you like that and being glad to see you. Seems like the whole countryside's glad to see us today.
Land sakes alive, what are you children standing out there on the porch for?
We were just looking around, Mrs. Silo, and being glad we're home.
Appears to me that's a funny way to be glad. Now, if you want to be really glad, come in the house, dear, now.
Boy, oh boy, I smell cookies cooking.
That's just what you do, Joe Corntassel. Might have known no matter how long you wait, you could still smell my cookies. Well, come and get them.
Boy, we will. Come on, Annie.
Well, I thought you children begin sniffing around Ma's kitchen pretty soon.
Now look out, Joe. Don't rush at them cookies. They're hot.
Shucks, it's been so long since I had any homemade cookies. I don't care how hot they are.
Here, Annie. Better have one of these cookies before Joe eats more than his share.
Boy, oh boy, they're good. I'll have another one.
Appears to me, Joe, you've got all you can handle in your mouth right now. But go ahead. Makes me feel like old times to see the two of you eating my baked goods.
Seems like old times to me, too.
I swear to goodness, now that I've got you both back, it don't hardly seem you've ever been away. Things are just the same as they used to be. Both you hungry, eating up things faster than I could cook 'em.
Nah, things ain't quite the same, though, Ma.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, folks are the same, but things aren't. Since you've been gone, Simmons Corners has been going into big business.
Big business? What do you mean, Mr. Silo?
What Paul means, Annie, is that a man has come from the city, a Mr. Taylor Flint, and he's going for new things in a big way.
Things? What sort of things?
Well, he's opened up a new bank, as if one bank wasn't enough for Mr. Simmons Corners, and he's put up a big electric fence over it. As if signs couldn't get people to have money in their pockets.
Now, Ma, you're not looking at this the right way. Mr. Flint's a big man. Besides his new bank, Annie, all the time you and Joe have been gone, he's been starting to build a bridge.
A bridge?
Yeah, a bridge across the river. You see, the way things are now, when folks want to go west, they have to drive clear down to Sunfield and cross the river there. But with this new bridge Mr. Flint's building, by paying a toll, they cross the bridge here at Simmons Corners. That means folks will save more than 18 miles driving west.
That seems like an awful swell idea.
That's just what I've been trying to tell Ma.
The idea may be all right, Paul. It's the man I don't like.
Why? What's the matter with Mr. Flint, Ma?
I don't know. Maybe nothing's the matter with him. It's just I don't seem to take a hankering to him. Maybe it's that stiff collar he wears or his city ways.
Now, that's no reason for not liking a person, Ma, and you know it.
Maybe I do, but I still can't help my likes and dislikes, can I?
Don't know what you can help, but it don't seem to me that...
Say, isn't that a car out there in the driveway?
I'll say it is. I can see it from the window. Leaping lizards, it's the biggest car I ever saw in my life. It's bigger than any of Daddy Warbucks.
I say it is. Shucks, look at it shine.
There's a man getting out, too. Jumping grasshoppers. He looks like the president or something from the way he's dressed.
Boy, oh boy, look at that long coat and that high silk hat. Gosh, whoever he is, he must be somebody.
Oh, it's just Mr. Flint. That's who it is. It's Mr. Flint, the man who's building the new bridge.
Now, what could he be wanting here?
Oh, I don't know, Ma. But anyhow, he wants to come in.
I guess you better let him in, Pa.
Good day, Mr. Zylo. Good day. I was passing by here, and I thought it might be well to come in and meet you. I want to get better acquainted with all the leading citizens in the county, so I thought I'd stop.
Well, come in, Mr. Flint. Come in.
Thank you, I shall.
This is, Mrs. Zylo, Mr. Flint.
I am mighty pleased to meet you, Mrs. Zylo. I've heard a lot about you in Simmons Corners, especially at the church. I'm a good God-fearing man, and I like to know church members.
Well, now that's nice of you, Mr. Flint.
Not at all, not at all. Since my venture to business here in Simmons Corners, one of the finest garden spots on this earth, I felt I want to get better acquainted with all the charming people who live here.
I hardly know what to say, Mr. Flint. You sort of take me by surprise. Meet Annie and Joe Corntassel.
How do you do, how do you do? My, if there's anything I love, it's children. I never was blessed with any myself, but that doesn't affect my feelings for them. I am mighty glad to meet you, both of you.
How do you do?
Hello.
Two mighty, husky, bright children. My, you're to be congratulated, Mr. Zylo.
Well, you see, they don't exactly belong to Ma and me.
Well, just having them in your house tells you a lot about your character, Mr. Zylo. Anyone with two bright young children like this around couldn't help being progressive.
Well, I always thought I kept up with the times.
Of course you do, of course you do. That's one reason I dropped in to see you. Now everyone tells me, Mr. Zylo, that you're one of the most prosperous citizens of our community. And, speaking of churches, Mrs. Zylo, it may interest you to know that I have just donated a new pipe organ to our church.
Land sakes, that's wonderful, Mr. Flint. Simply wonderful.
Why, nothing at all, I assure you. Giving this organ to the church is a great pleasure to me. But speaking of the bridge, Mr. Zylo, we were speaking of the bridge.
Yes, of course.
Being one of the leading citizens, I thought I'd give you a chance to get in on the ground floor, so to speak. Now, this bridge is going to be a community affair. Of course, I could finance it with a partner from New York, but I felt that you people who live here on this spot should have a chance to share in the profits.
That's mighty nice of you, Mr. Flint.
Why, not at all. Whenever I have an enterprise, I like the community to share in it. That's why I picked one of the other leading citizens, Luke Poole, to handle the stock for me.
Luke Poole?
Yes, indeed. One of your enterprising businessmen. I thought it would be better if he sold the stock rather than I, inasmuch as you all know him.
We know him, all right.
I beg your pardon?
Nothing.
And so, would you like to invest, Mr. Zylo? Oh, a few $100 in a sure thing? Just get in touch with either me or Mr. Poole. It's a marvelous stock you're buying, and you can't go wrong.
Buying?
Why, of course. All leading citizens of the county are buying, Mr. Zylo, and I know you want to be in on the ground floor with the rest of them. That's why I dropped in, to give you this opportunity. Well, goodbye, Mr. Zylo. So nice to have met you. I know we'll all enjoy the music of that new organ.
Goodbye, Mr. Flint. I don't know how we ladies will ever thank you for that wonderful organ.
Why, pray don't mention it, Mrs. Zylo. The pleasure's all mine. Well, goodbye, children.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, I'm thinking of donating the village a playground, children, with all sorts of things for you to play with. I know you'll like it. Well, goodbye, Mr. Zylo. Come in and see me when you want that stock.
My, oh, my, how I misjudged that man.
Misjudged him? What do you mean, Ma?
Why, he's wonderful. Simply wonderful. Think of him donating that new organ to the church. Nobody in Simmons Corners have ever done a thing like that before.
Shucks, they sure haven't.
You must buy some of that stock in the new bridge, Pa. If Mr. Flint's behind it, I'm sure it must be a fine thing.
Well, I'll think it over, Ma.
If I were you, Mr. Zylo, I'd think it over awful well.
Why, Annie, what do you mean?
All I mean, Mrs. Zylo, is that it strikes me Mr. Flint is a little too generous. People who go around giving things away like that usually expect to get something back. And unless I'm wrong, they expect to get back twice as much as they ever gave.
Well, what do you think of this Mr. Flint? Mr. Zylo certainly likes him, doesn't he? Mrs. Zylo, too. But say, do you think Andy's got the right idea about him? Do people who give things away, as Mr. Flint is doing, expect to get twice as much back? What do you think of this Mr. Flint? But now, attention everybody, please, for an important secret message broadcast in Annie's new 1936 Mystery Radio Code. So all you 1936 members, get your pencils and papers ready to take it down. First, we always give you the special code key, and tonight's secret message is coming in the 021 code. Did you get that? 021 is the special code key for tonight's secret message. So write 021 down on your paper right now so you won't forget it. And here's the secret message itself. First word, 24, 12, 12. 17. 13. Second word. 14. 17. 6. 17. 26. 6. Third word. 15. 24. 22. 13. 6. Fourth and last word. 13. 4. 1. 21. 20. 17. 19. 4. That's all. And that was another secret message in Andy's new 1936 mystery radio code. So all you 1936 members who have your super decoder pins and secret books, get busy and figure out right now. Just set your super decoder pin at the O21 the way I told you before I read the message, and it figures the whole thing out for you in a jiffy. And say, if you haven't sent in for your 1936 membership yet and are missing out on all the fun of figuring out these secret messages from Annie, you certainly want to get busy and join right away. Remember, it's absolutely free if you're drinking your Ovaltine regularly, because here's all you have to do. Just print your name and address plainly on a piece of paper. Then, mail it in together with all the thin, round aluminum seal from underneath the lid of a can of Ovaltine to Little Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. Or, if you live in Canada, mail it to Ovaltine, Peterborough, Ontario. That's all there is to it. And then Annie sends you this beautiful gold-colored Super Decoder pin and the new 1936 Official Book of Secrets. So get busy and send in this very night. And be here right on time tomorrow at 5:45, because there's going to be an awful lot happening in Simmons Corners from now on. Excitement you don't want to miss. We'll see you tomorrow at 5:45 then. Goodbye.
Who's that little chatterbox? The one with pretty auburn locks. Whom do you see? It's Little Orphan Annie.
Here it is, 5:45 on Orphan Annie's birthday. And so far, Annie hasn't the slightest suspicion of the big surprise party we're going to have on her tonight. But first, attention everybody, please, because tonight's the night when you're going to hear all about the big surprise that's coming for you. Yes, sir, the most beautiful and thrilling surprise Annie has ever had for her radio friends. Something absolutely new and different from anything you've ever heard over the radio before. So get your pencil and paper quick so you don't miss a single word of the big news I'll be telling you the very minute this adventure's over tonight. But now, for Annie's big surprise party. You remember Joe is keeping Annie away from the farm so she won't catch on. And all Annie's school friends have arrived for the party already. You can hear the noise they're making in the silo kitchen, running around. And listen, there's Potato Face talking now.
Hey, Squinty, look at my new scarf.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I saw it in school today. It looked like a checkered board.
I declare to goodness, not so much noise, not so much noise.
Well, if Annie's anywhere within a mile of the house, she can hear the lot of you, most likely.
When is she coming, Mrs. Silo?
Yes, Mrs. Silo, when will she be here? Are all the children here?
Yes, ma'am, everybody from school. The only one that wouldn't come was Mike Ghoul.
He didn't come, eh?
Aw, he's just a sore head.
Joe Corncast and I had to give him a good licking today, so he wouldn't give the secret away to Annie.
I declare to goodness.
It served him right.
When's Annie coming, Mrs. Silo?
Well, Joe promised to have her here by 20 minutes to 4.
Oh, it's almost 20 minutes to 4 now.
Yes, indeedy. I know it is.
Hey, Jimmy, take a look out the window. See if you can see Joe and Annie coming.
Okay.
Now you children can all hide in the parlor. And when you hear Annie and Joe inside, you can come running out and haul a surprise.
All right, Mrs. Silo.
Hey, get ready, everybody. Here they come. Sure enough. Get under cover there, everybody.
I declare to goodness. Hide. All of you. Hide. Hurry up. Hurry up.
Yes, indeedy. Get hidden, you children. Looks like we're all ready now, Ma.
Pa, that tablecloth. Pull it straight. All the presents are hidden under there. She'll see them when she comes in.
Sure, sure, Ma, sure.
Quick, quick. We don't want her to suspect anything. Oh, my goodness. Whose hat is that over there on the windowsill? Throw that in the bedroom, Pa. Annie's got sharp eyes. She noticed if anything was wrong.
Oh, I'll get it, Ma.
There. Now, I think everything's all right.
Just in time, too, Ma. There's the youngins coming now.
Sure enough.
Oh, gosh, Annie. I'm sorry I couldn't find it.
Oh, I bet there never was a beaver there.
Honest, there was. Annie, Peter and Paul told me. They said they saw him starting to build his house. We just didn't look in the right place, that's all.
What's the matter there, you youngins?
Oh, I was going to show Annie a place where a beaver's building his house, and when we went over there, we couldn't find it.
Mrs. Silo?
What's the matter, Annie?
Leaping lizards, what's the matter with you?
Me? Why, there's nothing wrong with me.
What's that?
Surprise! Surprise!
Leaping lizards! Golly! Jumping grasshoppers!
Happy birthday!
Now, children, all together.
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday, dear Annie! Happy birthday to you!
Happy birthday, Annie! Leaping lizards! I don't know what to say.
Hey, hey, how about pounding on her back?
For every year.
Oh, no, you can't all pound on me. You'll break my back. Nothing doing.
Reach under the table there, Paul, and get out the presents.
Yes. Jumping grasshoppers. Are there presents, too?
Of course there are. This is a regular party.
Hooray for Annie!
That's right, Paul. Put them right there on the table.
Suffering mackerels, are all of those for me?
Yeah, of course.
Golly, I never had a birthday party like this in all my life.
Well, for mercy's sake, Annie, start opening them up. See what's inside of him. I'm just as anxious to you as see what they are myself. Look at this one here with the foreign-looking paper around it. And those funny postage stamps.
Oh, I know what those are. I say stamps. Those are Chinese stamps.
Ooh. Now, who could this be from? Oh, golly, look, it's from... his name up there in the corner. Oh, he was a real nice Chinaman that Joe and I met over in China.
Oh.
Now, how do you suppose he found out when my birthday was?
Well, what is it, Annie? Oh, my goodness. It's a beautiful silk kimono.
That's beautiful, Annie.
Yes, isn't it grand?
Gee, that was nice of Ma Gee. Hey, Joe, help me open up some of these. It'll take me all day to open them all.
Sure, Annie. Look here. Here's one for Mr. Montague.
Well, open it up and see what it is.
Oh, gosh, Annie. Here's one I'll bet you'll want to open yourself.
What is it?
Here, it's just a little package.
Who's it from, Annie?
Yeah, who's it from, Annie?
It's from Daddy Warbucks.
I declare to goodness.
Look at the stamps on it. It's from some foreign place, too.
Let me see them, Annie. Oh, gosh. Those are from Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia? Where's that?
That's a country in the middle of Europe.
Open it up and see what it is, Annie. See what Mr. Daddy Warbucks sent you.
I am, Mrs. Silo. Oh, here's a box.
Oh, it must be inside there.
No, there's more paper in here. Oh, golly. There's a little box inside all this paper. I can feel it.
Well, get it open, Annie. See what it is.
Here it is, Mrs. Silo.
I declare, a little box like that, why, it looks to me like jewelry. See what's in it, Annie.
Leaping lizards. Look, it's a ring.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, for mercy's sake, Annie, isn't that a beauty? Come here and look at it, Pa. Take it out and put it on.
It's got a beautiful big stone in it, too.
Gee, that's a grand ring.
How does that look? Just look at the way that stone shines and sparkles.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, I wish I had one like that.
Here, look. Look, Annie. Why, there's printing on that ring. Right next to the stone here. I thought so. See what it says here? It's got October on the side of it, and the word hope on the other side. Hope's the birthday sentiment for October.
Let me see, Paul.
And that rose-colored stone in there must be your birthstone, Annie. Sure, that's what it is. That's a rose zircon. And it's a beauty, too. That's the birthstone of October. I remember all of them.
Leaping lizards. That makes it my own personal birthday ring. Daddy's a peach to send me such a swell present.
He certainly is. And now, let's see what else he got.
Hey, wasn't that a grand surprise for Annie? And do you ever hear of such a keen birthday present as a beautiful ring she got from Daddy Warbucks? But now, attention everybody, please. Here's the big news of the big surprise that Orphan Annie has for you. Because now, we are going to give every one of you boys and girls the chance to get a birthday ring just like Annie's. A ring with your own birthstone in it. So it'll be your very own personal birthday ring. And believe me, it's a beauty. perhaps one of the most expensive-looking rings you've ever seen. Absolutely different from any ring offered on the radio before. Now, just listen to how different it is. First of all, this birthday ring Annie will send you is a genuine gold-plated ring. Yes, sir, it's finished in genuine 24-karat gold plate. And on top of that, it has a special rose gold finish, just like they're putting on some of the finest gold jewelry these days. Another thing, this Orphan Annie birthday ring is a big ring, like the ones your mother and father wear. It's 5/8 of an inch across the front and made up in a very stylish, modernistic design, like the most expensive rings. And what's more, this Orphan Annie birthday ring is an automatic fitting ring, so no matter how big or small your finger is, it'll fit you exactly right. Boy, oh boy, did you ever dream of having a big, shiny, gold-plated birthday ring like that for your very own? You know, some rings that we've seen in stores with imported birthstones just like these have sold for as much as $2 to $4. But you can't buy rings like these Orphan Annie birthday rings anywhere because they've been made up specially for Annie's radio friends, you boys and girls who drink your Ovaltine regularly. And you can get this ring for only 10 cents and one Ovaltine aluminum seal. Just think of getting a bargain like that. So send in right away. Remember to ask your mother to get a can of Ovaltine at her drug or grocery store now, because even if you have some at home, you'll be needing another can pretty soon anyway. And then, as soon as you get it, just take out all that thin, round aluminum seal, put it in an envelope, together with 10 cents in coin and a piece of paper, print it plainly with your name and address, showing also the exact month in which you were born. Then, mail the whole thing in to Little Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. Or, if you live in Canada, mail it to Ovaltine, Peterborough, Ontario. And then, Annie will send you your genuine gold-plated birthday ring with your own beautifully imported simulated birthstone in it just as fast as she can. So get busy right now. And don't forget, be here right on time Monday at 5:45 to hear the exciting things that will be happening to Annie next. We'll see you Monday at 5:45 then. Goodbye. It's 5:45 now, Little Orphan Annie time, and Ovaltine time again. And these are certainly busy days for Annie and Simmons Corners now, aren't they? Yes, with Tony Rinaldi in jail, with so many mysterious things happening down at the bridge, and she and Joe certainly have their hands full. But you can bet they're having a mighty fine time through it all, because they're bubbling over with so much pep and energy. They always get loads of fun out of everything they do, and that's usually the way it is with boys and girls who have plenty of Ovaltine, because by drinking 2 or 3 big cupfuls of Ovaltine every day, they got lots of important minerals and vitamins and things that help nature make them husky and strong, and full of fun and pep as Orphan Annie herself. So if you've been missing out on Ovaltine lately, you certainly want to ask your mother to get you another crayon or at a drug or grocery store now. And it's especially important to do that right away, because the quicker you get that Ovaltine, the quicker you can send in for the latest design Orphan Annie hot Ovaltine mug I've been telling you about. And here's something important. If you haven't sent in yet, you'd better hurry, because we'll be offering them over the radio for only a few more days. So if you haven't got one of these keen-looking mugs now, don't miss this opportunity. But keep listening after tonight's adventure is over, and I'll tell you exactly how to send in for yours right away. Now, let's see what Annie's doing about the missing Bill Corwin. You remember Mrs. Wigglesworth was so worried she got the marshal out to her farm, and then Walter Broom reported that the Wigglesworth rowboat and fishing tackle were missing. You suppose that Bill went fishing on the river last night? Neither Annie, Joe, or Mrs. Wigglesworth thinks so, but the marshal does. Listen to him now.
So he's gone fishing, eh? So that's what you gotta tell me, Mrs. Wigglesworth, on a wild goose chase. Well, guess it's a wild fish chase, eh?
Goodness, I never knew Bill would do a thing like this before. You sure about that boat, Walter?
Sure, I'm sure, Mrs. Wigglesworth. It's gone from the dock just like I said, and so all of Mr. Wigglesworth's fishing tackle.
You don't suppose he's really gone fishing, do you?
Of course not, Joe. Leaping lizards. There couldn't be anybody fishing with what Bill Corwin had in his mind.
And what's that, Annie? Now, you really ought to have me mad at Mrs. Wigglesworth. You get me way out here just to tell me Bill Corwin's gone fishing, and he's wearing his hat on his mind. But I think it's a good joke. Just wait till the boys hear about this one.
Ah, you think you're smart, Elma Slayton, don't you? Well, you're just so smart, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind.
Now, don't you do that. You might need it sometime, Miss Wigglesworth. Maybe to clean those fish that Bill's going to bring back home. Well, I got to get back to town.
Listen, Mr. Marshall, there's more to this thing than meets the eye.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Annie, because the only thing that meets my eye is that Bill Corwin's gone fishing.
But he hasn't gone fishing.
I got to believe the evidence, Annie.
Yeah, well, you believe some other evidence once. That day you arrested Tony Rinaldi for the payroll robbery.
What? What do you mean once? I still believe it. And that evidence is going to hold up in court next week and send Rinaldi to prison for a good many years. Now, I've been marshaling long enough to know evidence when I see it. And this time, I know it. Bill Corwin's gone fishing. And Miss Wigglesworth, when he brings a whole mess of fish back, have Walter clean them for me first.
There are other things I got to do besides clean fish for you. Wait a minute, Mr. Marshall. Wait a minute. I got something to tell you.
Well, if any more of your fish stories, Annie, you might want to tell it to the Marines.
Shucks, he's gone.
Doggone if he thinks I'm going to clean any fish for him.
The idea. He thinks he's too smart, Elma Slant does. Fishing indeed. Bill's never gone fishing before since he come to board with us, and he certainly wouldn't start out in the middle of the night without even going to bed.
He didn't go to bed at all, Mrs. Wigglesworth?
His bed wasn't slept in. He didn't come home. Mr. Wigglesworth said, I worry too much. Well, maybe I do. But ever since that boy come to stay with us, I haven't closed my eyes nights till he come in. No, sir, I've laid awake in bed listening for the door to open and close, and for Bill to come upstairs. Never having any kids of my own. Well, I felt sorry like a mother to him in all this. Until last night, he's come home early. Even when he had a day in town to go to the movies with Eleanor Barkley, he was always back before midnight. Oh, I just can't understand it that Bill would go off without saying a word to me.
Oh, Mrs. Wigglesworth, don't go on like that. Something has happened, so he couldn't come home.
Land sakes, but what, Annie?
I've got an idea. At least part of an idea. So you go inside and rest a while, and Mrs. Wigglesworth, and we'll see what we can do about it.
All right, Annie. I do feel kind of low not sleeping last night and worrying so much.
You go right in and lie down a while. Just leave this to us, Mrs. Wigglesworth.
You let me know as soon as you find anything, won't you?
Well, I've never seen Mrs. Wigglesworth feel so bad before.
Shucks, neither did I.
She acts just like Bill was her own son. Couldn't feel no worse, I guess, if he was.
Like she says, I guess never having any children of her own made her love Bill an awful lot.
Yeah, but you said you had an idea, Annie. What is it?
Well, it's only part of an idea, Joe.
Shucks, part of an idea is a whole lot better than none at all. I haven't got any.
I never seem to get any ideas.
It's like this. If Bill's disappeared, Joe, you and I know why.
Sure we do. It's because of the cement and the bridge and that man who warned him to get out of town.
Uh-oh, what's all this?
We haven't had time to tell you now, Walter. It's something Joe and I found out from Bill. I was going to tell the marshal just as he was driving away.
Shucks, he said tell it to the Marines.
Well, I'm kind of glad he didn't listen, Joe. I don't suppose it would make any difference to him anyhow. And it may be awful useful to Tony in his trial.
What's it got to do with Tony?
Lawyer Jones may be able to hook it up with Tony's case and help him. They don't see it coming as a surprise in court. It may do a lot of good with the jury.
Boy, oh boy, I never thought of that. Was that why you stopped me when I started to tell the marshal, Annie?
I didn't see that he had to know if he was going to go look for Bill anyhow. But when he got that fish and stuff in his head, I was going to tell him as a last resort to get him to do something. But instead he drove away. Now it's up to us to do it.
Do what?
Find Bill. Will you help us, Walter?
Oh, sure I will. I ain't got much to do today anyhow, and looking for Bill will be a whole lot easier than starting to plow. Fields are too wet to plow anyhow.
Let's get started, then.
Where are we going to start?
Down the river. Down where the Wigglesworth's boats is missing. Come on.
Shucks, Annie, why start there? We all know and we've been trying to say that Bill didn't go fishing.
I know that, but where else is there to start? All we know, Joe, is that Bill left the Silos house last night, intended to come home, and he didn't come. Leastwise, he didn't go into the Wigglesworth's house.
Sure, but he might have disappeared anywhere along the road here, Annie.
Doggone it, I wish I knew what you were talking about.
It's like this, Walter. Bill was threatened. He was told to leave town, and he was warned that if he didn't, something would happen to him.
Well, I'm a sad Sammy. What do you know about that? Bill was threatened? Why didn't he call me? Anybody that threatened a friend of mine, I'd twist right around in my hands.
You weren't there, Walter.
Well, doggone, I wish I had been there.
Hey, we're at the river.
See? There's the dock, Annie. Just like I told you. And the rowboat's gone. Mr. Wigglesworth's fishing tackle that he keeps on the side of the shed there, that's gone too. I know, because he always had a big bamboo pole there.
Yeah, I can see it's gone, Walter.
Shucks, you don't suppose Bill really did take the boat, do you, Annie?
No, but I think it's got something to do with him disappearing like this.
Why? I don't see that.
Well, because that boat's never been missing before. It's been tied up there for years, and nobody's ever taken it. Why should they take it now? Don't you see, Joe, the two of them missing together, Bill Corwin and the Wigglesworth's rowboat, they got some connection, and we gotta find out what it is.
I wish we knew how.
There's only one way to find out.
How?
Well, there's only one place a boat's got any good.
Oh, sure, I can figure that one out. On the water.
Yeah, a rowboat's got no good on land, so wherever that boat is, it's gotta be someplace on the river. And we're gonna find it right now.
Shucks, good for you, Annie. Let's go.
We're gonna follow right along this riverbank until we find that boat.
Come on.
I'm with you.
Say, Annie.
What's the matter, Joe?
We've got to search in the other direction, too. Suppose somebody took the boat up the river.
That's right, Joe. Maybe you better search upstream, and Walter and I'll go down the river.
Sure.
Keep good watch on one side of the river, Joe.
All right, Annie.
So long.
Walter, you'll get him watch. You'll watch on the other side of the river as we go down.
You bet, Annie.
And I'll keep watch on this bay. Sooner or later, we're bound to find it. Come on, Walter. Let's move right along.
Yeah. There's some bushes ahead there. I'll push them down so you can get through.
Here we are.
Gosh, Annie.
What, Walter?
You don't suppose.
Suppose what?
The Bill got scared and left town, Annie. You and Joe said he was threatened. He might have got real scared and got in the boat and rowed across the other side of the river and run away.
No, Bill's not that kind. He wouldn't run away from anything.
Well, I wouldn't run away from a swell job like he had on the bridge, but some awful funny things have happened to Bill. Around here, he might have run away, Danny.
No, Bill had a special reason for staying. He was going to report today for the authorities and Mr. Flynn. You can just bet he didn't run away. You could just say that...
Say, there's a boat.
Where?
Right there, close to the bay. That's the Wigglesworth boat.
I see it. No one's in it.
Nope, not a soul.
We gotta call Joe. He can't be very far yet. Joe! Joe!
Joe, come on back. We found the boat.
Okay, I'm coming.
Come on, Walter. Let's get closer to the boat.
Guess Bill did go fishing after all, Annie. There's a fishing pole. I can see it hanging out over one side.
Yeah, the line's in the water, too. But that doesn't prove that Bill went fishing.
Looks awful lonesome, don't it, that empty boat?
Did you find it, Annie? Where is it?
Right there, close to the bank, Joe.
It's drifting there, just sort of moving lazy with the current.
Gosh, and no sign of Bill.
Suffering sunfish.
What, Annie?
Look on the seat of that boat there. What do you see?
I see a hat.
Yeah.
It's a gray hat with a black band. It's rimmed, turned to one side.
Do you know whose hat that is? It's Bill Corwin's hat.
Gosh, then he was in that boat.
It looks like it.
Annie, if he was in that boat, and only his hat's there now, you don't suppose he's been drowned.
So Bill Corwin is in that rowboat last night after all, because there's his hat lying there in that boat. What could have happened to Bill? We're going to be finding out soon, so be sure and keep listening from now on. And now, if you're one of those boys and girls who haven't got one of the latest Ovaltine mugs, listen carefully and I'll tell you exactly how to get one. Lots of Orphan Annie fans have these mugs, and if you've been missing out on it, you certainly want to get one right now, because it's great to use for drinking your Ovaltine. It's all made of genuine beetleware, and right on the front, there's a beautifully colored picture of Annie and Sandy, and it's a good-sized mug with a big, comfortable handle on it. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow at 5:45 for some strange new developments in the mysterious disappearance of Bill Corwin. We'll be hearing more about that tomorrow at the same time then. Until then, goodbye. Well, here we are, ready to start another big adventure with Orphan Annie in Simmons Corners. But first, let me ask you a question. When you drink your Ovaltine, do you always put in plenty of sugar? You know, Ovaltine comes unsweetened because in some cases, when people are sick, doctors don't want them to have sugar. And that's why Ovaltine does not have any added sugar in it. So remember, when you're drinking your Ovaltine, you can always make it taste as sweet as you want by just adding the sugar yourself. If you've ever tried Ovaltine for the first time and maybe didn't like it because it wasn't sweet enough, ask your mother now to get you another can at the grocery or drugstore so you can try it again. Then, when you're mixing your cupful, be sure to add at least 1 teaspoonful of sugar before you drink it. Boy, just wait until you see how good that Ovaltine is. Why, it tastes even better than a chocolate soda. What's more, your mother will be glad to let you have all the Ovaltine you want because it's so good for you. Every single cupful gives you important food elements to help build up strength and energy and pep for you. Another thing, tell your mother she saves money by insisting on getting real Ovaltine and not some oversweetened product with a lot of sugar already in it. Because ordinary sugar is so cheap, you can just well add your own and get more value for your money. So tell your mother to be sure to get genuine Ovaltine and not to take anything else in its place. And now, let's see what's happening to Annie. After Mr. Flynn confessed to the payroll and bank robbery, he escaped with his cronies, Wright and Red Hogan. And right now, the marshal, Mr. Silo, Mr. Caslon, Annie, and Joe are searching for them in the field surrounding Simmons Corners. It's still pouring rain, and the night's mighty dark. Just listen to that thunder.
Leaping lizards, it seems to be raining harder than ever.
Shucks, let it rain. We're as wet now as we can ever be. Who minds getting a little wetter?
Nobody, Joe. No, sir. Not if we can put this here flint behind bars where it belongs. You're right, Mr. Silo. As citizens, we're going to do our duty even if we get half-drowned.
Good for you. I knew I picked a good couple of deputies when I got you two.
Where are we heading, Marshal? And what's the plan?
I don't know if there is a plan, Caslin. Land sakes, I don't know if we need one. It's cinched, Flint. Them others can't get out of the country. Not the way the sheriff and the state police got the roads blocked today this time.
I know, but Mr. Caslaw means we ought to have some method of tramping around here in the wet. We may be gone till daylight unless we work out some sort of theory.
What sort of theory? It's so dark out here, don't seem no sort of theory hardly could get us any place. Looks to me as if we gotta stumble around here until we plumb into Flint.
In this dark and rain, Marshal, there's not much chance of that.
Doggone it, I know it. Here, Joe, there's a hollow in some bushes over there. Along that fence, turn your flashlight of yours in there.
All right, is that the spot?
Yep.
There's nobody in there, Marshal. Nobody at all.
I see there ain't. I thought maybe Flint had taken shelter in a hollow like that.
Marshal, I think we're just wasting our time falling around here in the wet.
Well, maybe wasting your time, Mr. Silo, but it ain't mine. Doggone it. I'm not forgetting the way Flint taunted me the day we found Bill Corwin and kept prisoner old Carson House. He said I wasn't much of a police officer, right? I just want to show him I am. If I can get my hands on him, I guess that'll show him. And here was him all the time keeping Bill prisoner.
Well, I don't blame you at all, Marshal, for feeling the way you do. If I were in your shoes, I'd want to get my hands on Flint first, too. But I think we're not doing much by getting him by stumbling around here in these fields in the dark.
I agree with Mr. Caslon. We ought to have a plan for this here search.
Well, you just name me a plan and I'll jump at it. I'm as much as you folks are right now. And say, these fields are starting to look like a sea in all this rain. What's your plan?
Well, I don't know exactly. What about you, Mr. Silo?
Well, I don't know if I had any exact plan in mind. But it was you, Elmer, who thought of coming across these fields instead of going into town.
Sure it was. It was a good idea. Of course, it's a cinch. Flint and those others couldn't have gotten to Simmons Corners where they've been seen and been reported, and they must have cut across the fields since they couldn't get to their automobiles.
Yeah, that makes sense, Elmer. But it doesn't make sense us stumbling around here and looking at hollows with Joe's flashlight.
Right. Because it's easy to guess Flint wouldn't take any chance in hiding any hollow.
All right, then. Suppose you tell me where he is.
Well, I don't think I can.
Listen, Marshal, I've got an idea.
You have any?
Yeah, what?
Well, look. What place around here does Mr. Flint know better than any other place?
Place? Know better?
Yeah, needing a hideout for a short while until he had time to get away. Where would he be most likely to head for?
I don't know. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, I can tell you. There's one place he'd make for as quick as he could, because he knows it better than anybody else. And that's the place he kept Bill Corwin prisoner, the old Carson House.
I swear, Annie, I bet you put your finger right on it. Makes sense, anyhow.
You bet it does. That's just where he'd go until he had time to plan his getaway.
Shucks, Annie, I bet he and those others are there right now.
Well, it's something to work on, anyhow. I'm glad we brought you kids along with us.
Shucks, we just want to help, Marshal.
Yeah, now let's see how. Which way is the old Carson house from here? Strikes me it's straight ahead.
No, it's to the left, Marshall. Over that fence there. We've been going even with the river. We gotta turn and go toward it.
Annie's right, Marshall. Land sakes! These children know these fields about here better than we do.
Shucks, I guess we do. Because Annie and I have played in them for a long time.
All right, here, let's get over this fence here. Now hold that light steady, Joe.
I will.
Land sakes, I'm not so young as I used to be when it comes to climbing.
Well, make it all right.
There, can you kids get across?
You bet. We can almost jump it. Come on, Annie.
Okay.
Now then, which way?
Straight ahead, right away from that fence there. That'll take us to the riverbank and the old Carson house. Is that right, Joe?
That's right, Annie. Just a little to the left, though.
Yeah, that's it, Joe. Just a little to the left.
Well, come on, then.
Wish you would stop this rain for a while. It's running right down my eyes.
Well, you've got to stand it, Caslin.
Oh, I'm all right. Listen, we must be getting close to the river. I can hear it.
We are close. It's just right ahead there.
Land sakes, I haven't heard the river run like this since I was a boy. Just listen to it.
No wonder with all this rain. And on top of that cloudburst, the sheriff said to head for the shallows.
Yep, he said on the phone that the river was getting to a flood stage. Said it was up to 8 feet and rising every minute.
Then there will be a flood. From the sound of it, it's tearing the banks apart. I remember the last flood we had back here in 1919. It was nothing could stand against it. Nothing that wasn't solid and anchored down to a bedrock.
Yeah, but this ain't getting us nowhere towards catching Flint. I've got my duty to do. Annie?
Yeah, Marshall?
That old Carson house. Where is it from here?
It's just ahead there, behind those trees. You can't see it very well because it's so dark.
Oh, I see it. Yep, that's the Carson house, Marshall.
Well, let's get to it. I've wasted enough time. I want to see this fellow Flint gets the justice he deserves.
We all do, Elmer. Let's go.
Shucks. This place looks awful quiet.
It would, Joe. Jumping grasshoppers. Mr. Flint wouldn't dare show a light tonight.
No, but we would. Let's see a gleam from that flashlight of yours, Joe. Show it around those steps.
How's that?
Fine. Come on, folks. We're getting in here. And if it Flint's around, we'll bag him.
We're with you, Marshall.
Show that light inside of there, Joe.
There she is.
I don't see nothing. Let's get further in here.
Right. Still don't see anything.
Well, they wouldn't be standing out here right in plain sight in the hall. What's behind this door here?
It goes into a room, Marshall. Into that room where the old moving fireplace is.
Oh, it does it? Well, let's have a look.
Wait a minute, Marshall. Wait.
Wait for what?
I thought I heard a noise in there. Listen. Suffering sawfish. Did you hear that?
I sure did.
What is it, Annie?
It was the fireplace moving in there. The sliding fireplace that leads down to the tunnel under the house.
Get out of the way till I get this door open. They've gone. Gone.
Shucks, yes.
They've gone down the stairs behind the fireplace, all right. Well, let's go down after them.
We can't. We don't know how to open the fireplace from this side. We only know how to open it from the other side.
You mean we're going to let them get away?
No. Leaping lizards, I've got an idea.
What, Annie?
If they've gone down behind that fireplace, they're intended to get away from the tunnel to the riverbank. Maybe if we go straight down to the bank, we can head them off.
Well, that sounds like business to me. Come on.
Keep that light showing, Joe.
I will.
Say, stop raining anyhow.
Be careful on those steps. They're kind of mean.
Here we are. This way, Marshall. Right down to the river.
I'm coming.
Boy, oh boy, listen to that river run.
Sure ripping the banks apart, all right.
I don't know if I've ever heard it run like that.
Say, there's the moon coming out from behind those clouds up there.
Good. With that moon, we'll be able to see something.
You said it, Marshall. I see something right now. There, on the bank.
It's three men. They beat us out of the tunnel.
It's Flint, all right.
Yeah, and there's Red Hogan.
Stop. Stop, Flint. Stop right where you are. Stop in the name of the law.
Shucks, they're not stopping.
They're running faster than ever.
Come on, man, after them.
We're with you, Marshall.
You bet. I'm going to get justice done if I have to chase them from here to the edge of the country. Stop, thief. Stop in the name of the law.
They're heading towards the bridge.
I don't care where they're heading. I'm going to get them.
With that moon, we can see anyhow.
Yeah, it's getting bigger.
Stop. Stop, thief. I tell you to stop where you are.
They're on the edge of the bridge.
They're heading for the other side of the river.
Am and we're heading right after them. Come on, if we're going to cross that bridge, we can.
Wait, Marshall, wait!
Wait for what, Annie? Let go of my arm.
No, stop, Marshall. Wait, Mr. Silo, don't go out onto that bridge.
What's the matter, Annie? If Flynn's crossing that bridge, I guess we can.
No, please stand still. You've got to.
All right, Annie, but why?
Look at the bridge. Look at it there in the moonlight. Look at the center of it, just ahead of Flint and those men.
Great Jehoshaphat, the cement's crumbling.
It is. It's falling apart.
Great snakes, that bridge is going to fall.
The water is washing out the rotten cement.
Gosh.
Flint, come back. Come back. The bridge is crumbling.
I won't stop. They think they're getting away. Look at the center of that pier right there, right under them.
It's all crumbling to bits.
There it goes, the whole bridge.
Gone, the whole bridge.
And with it, it's builders. Flint, Hogan, and Wright. I guess you don't have any arresting to do now, Marshal.
Mr. Silo's right. There is justice in the world. And as Mr. Flint sowed, so did he reap. And now, there will be no more robberies or cheating in Simmons Corners. But say, don't think there isn't going to be plenty of fun and adventure for Annie. There is, because right at this minute, although Annie doesn't know it, there is a telegram come over the wires to the Silo farm. It's a mighty mysterious telegram, too, and it's going to start Annie on the greatest adventure she's ever had. So don't miss being here when it comes. And say, speaking of adventures, you don't want to miss the next production brought to you by Colony Eye Drama. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Colony Eye Drama is gearing up for the drama season by bringing you an amazing lineup of fabulous shows. Are you like most people, can't wait for the holiday season and all the stories of family and fun? Then be sure to join us here at Colony High on November 1st through December 8th for the well-loved play, A Christmas Story. That's right, A Christmas Story will be brought to life right here on the Colony stage. Then experience the Broadway phenomenon right here in the Valley when Colony Drama brings the Phantom of the Opera to the Glen Massey stage. That's right, the Phantom of the Opera performed by Colony Drama at the Glen Massey Theater February 8th through 16th. For more information about show dates and times, visit the Colony High Drama page at www.matsuk12.us/drama. So remember to listen for more adventures of Annie and come back to the Colony stage in November and December for our next production. Until next time, good night.